Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, we ask that you would cause us to see you and hear you. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your worship bulletin is a sheet. It's got sermon notes on it. On the other side, it's got some devotions for next or this coming week. I would encourage you to take that out and follow along that way, and also to do the devotions this week. Also, on the other side of your upcoming events flyer is this sheet that says the seven realities of experiencing God. I would encourage you to put that up somewhere in your house, on your refrigerator, where you'll see it in a mirror. Take it with you as you go through the day to begin to look at that, because you needed to look at it. And then if you're listening to this online, there's a PDF file with the sermon notes and the devotions that you can download and use. In 1970, Henry Blackaby was called to pastor a tiny church in Saskatoon, Canada. Who knows where Saskatoon is? Oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. That many. And as the church grew numerically, they began to do church plants. And in fact, over 20 years, they planted 38 other churches. And that church became a center for pastoral training in Canada and beyond. But Blackaby became a household name in 1990 when he released a book called Experiencing God based on his experiences as a pastor and a teacher. And in Experiencing God, which was written 27 years ago, it still challenges us, challenges millions of Christians to find out where God is at work and to join him there. It really has helped people to find and know God's will for their lives as they experience God, which is what the series is attempting to help us to do, to know God's will by looking around to see where God is already at work and joining him in that work. Now, from the beginning of storytelling, especially in the more modern era, first with the radio and then with the television, we are constantly being invited to stay with the program, to stay with the program. For instance, early radio programs would break for a word from our sponsors. And today we call that what? Yeah, commercial. And for programming, whether a show or a movie, they come to a point in the story where you're about to learn something important about the character or an event is about to take place. But before they reach that point, they take a commercial break. And so you're invited to stay through the commercial before the suspense is finally broken. There are really good channels at doing this. The Discovery Channel, the History Channel, other stations, really almost any programming channel nowadays is good at making us wait and inviting us to stay through the commercial. On the news channel, what they do is they invite you to stay on the program to hear an answer to a tease that they leave you with. Coming up, we'll hear from the survivor of this incident. And of course, who doesn't want to hear from the survivor? What is interesting to me is that most people really don't think how important the invitation is in keeping us to stay with the program. I mean, my guess is people are hired and fired with the ability to keep people on that station. One of the realities of experiencing God that Henry Blackaby discovered through reading God's encounters with people in the Bible is the fact that God is always at work around you, and that God pursues a continuing love relationship with us that is real and personal. And today, the reality of experiencing God we want to look at is this. God invites. God invites you to become involved with him in his work. God asks. God requests. God calls us to join in the work God is already waging around us, around you. By invitation, your presence is desired by the Creator of the world. In this morning's scripture, we note that God had been doing an amazing work in bringing freedom to the Israelites. These people who for over 400 years were enslaved, who lived in bondage to the Egyptians, and who are an example of these seven realities. We can look at these Israelites. God began to work to bring freedom when the Israelites complained about their captivity to God. So that's the first thing. They reached out to God and God began to work in their lives, began to answer their prayer. Then the second reality was that God pursued a real and personal relationship with Moses. With Moses, God speaking to Moses, Moses responding to God. And then third, God invited Moses to join in the work to set the people free. God invited Moses to join in the work to set the people free, even though Moses was far away from the Israelites in that moment. God was calling him to join him in the work to set him free, set them free. Now, if you remember what God said to Abraham 500 years before that, God said, though through your family, you will become a great nation who will be a blessing to all other nations. And God will provide them a plot of land in which they will live. And the blessing that Abraham was to be was about how this nation from him, in turn, will be in relationship with the one true living God and will reveal that God to all the nations around them. In fact, to all the people on the earth. God invited Abraham to join him in being a part of the revelation of God to everyone, to everywhere, from then all the way up through eternity. God invited Abraham's son, Isaac, to join him, and then his grandson, Jacob, and then his great-grandson, Joseph. And now Moses has been invited to join God in the work. God invited Moses to lead the people to the land which God had promised them they would inherit. And as God first invited these people to join in on God's work, God asks, God invites us today to join in helping people find freedom in Jesus. Not just for today, but for all eternity. I think people today, however, are distracted by the commercials in life. The commercials that sidetrack us from the main story of God. Commercials that cause us to think we're really not experiencing life yet. And we need more in our lives so that we can really, really live. And we spend a lot of time and money in pursuit of temporary things when an eternal God pursues us and invites us to be with and work with Him for treasures that do not spoil, that do not rust, that do not rot. God brings the Israelites to the brink of the promised land. The spies go into the land. And read with me what it is that they said. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And remember from the reading, a cluster of grape took two men with a pole between them to carry it out of the promised land. You see, God wanted to provide for them everything they would need. God is showing them what life could be like, what is probable. God invites them to join Him in taking the promised land. Theirs for the taking, and it's a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. Remember, at this point in time, gold or precious metals were nothing compared to the value of land, as people needed the land to survive. room for animals to graze and gardens to grow, so people could eat and their tummies would be full. God's probable is never impossible when you're with God. However, read with me what 10 of the 12 spies went on to say. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. Despite the good land and the positives, there is that but. That but, B-U-T, which causes us to become blind to the possibilities of what can be done when God is on your side. Where the probable becomes the possible. Yet within the last several months, God had displayed His mighty power through various miracles and signs to the Egyptians until they told the slaves to get out of Egypt. Even in a way in which the Egyptians gave them their gold and their jewelry. And when they were trapped by the sea and the Egyptian army coming down on them, God stood the gap between them. With Moses, God split the Red Sea so that they could walk through to the other side on dry ground. Then God encountered them at Mount Sinai and gave them the Ten Commandments and the law. There they built a tabernacle to God for worship and a place for God's presence to be with them always. And God guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. God was at work around them. God was with them, pursuing them to be in relationship with Himself. And God is now inviting them into the promised land to take possession of it. But, what's your but today? They either didn't trust God or couldn't see God making a way for them to take possession of the land. All they could see were the roadblocks. Instead of joining God in the possible, they sit in the improbable because of what they see before them, not looking at life with spiritual eyes. Where are you at with the Lord these days? What is God asking you to join Him in that you haven't been moved to join Him with yet? Maybe you have recognized God's acts of love through Jesus and have received Jesus as your Savior. But you haven't really gone any further in your spiritual development to make sure that you're growing in God. Instead, maybe you attend service every now and then. Maybe you've withheld your abilities in service, your prayers, your financial giving, your witness of God in your life because you cannot believe that God has your back. Or that where God is leading you to is better than where you are right now. I remember a time I was attending service and there was an invitation after the sermon to come and pray at the altar of the church. We sung this responsive hymn. I don't remember what it was, but I was moved in my spirit to go and pray. But I wouldn't allow myself to release my grip from the pew in front of me. Maybe it was pride that, hey, you know, I'm spiritually okay. I don't have any problems. Or maybe it was the fear of what others might think. Hey, what's wrong with Paul? Or maybe it was just plain stubbornness. But I knew God had wanted me to go forward and to spend some time with Him and talk about some stuff. But I wouldn't do it. After church, we had Sunday school, and in Sunday school, the conversation eventually shifted around to that moment in service. Probably the quietest woman in the group, Carol, the one who felt least worthy and certainly felt the least spiritual in the group, said it this. She felt God was tugging at her heart to come forward, but she resisted. God was working on a number of our hearts that morning in service, and none of us, not one was willing to respond to God's invitation to come forward. Not one. And here we were, the spiritual people in the room. And in the safety of that class, one by one, we each began to confess how we had ignored God's invitation to come forward, mostly out of a mixture of pride and fear. Do you know what happened the next time in a service that God invited people to come forward? Many of us in that class accepted God's invitation that morning. It was truly freeing to simply embrace God and to obey God. Even when Caleb said, when he saw the possibilities with God, "We should go and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it," and that "we" wasn't dependent upon who they were. He was dependent on whose they were and who they were with. The children God had brought this far was going to continue to work through them into the promised land. But there's that but again. Well, the 10 spies had stated, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than us." How typical to look at the negative instead of the possibilities. And they began to spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. Look what they said. Read it with me. "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." Now, I don't know that anyone was devouring anyone else, but they were afraid. They were afraid of the size of these people. Friends, very few of us tend to be like Caleb and Joshua. "Let's go. The Lord is leading us to go. Let's take the land." We find it hard to embrace God's invitation to join Him in His work and instead live by the buts. And if we do, we're going to do it our way in our own time. "Lord, I'll get to that in a minute." Spirit of God, break our hearts of stone that we might hear your invitation and obey you and follow you, trusting you to provide what we need when we need it. You see, I've got some concerns, some fears about not being obedient to the Spirit. When I don't accept God's invitation to join Him in His work, or when I withhold my faith that calls me to action, three things happen. One, I don't learn to trust God anymore and grow in my faith. I don't learn to trust God anymore and grow in my faith. When I don't trust God, my faith hearing becomes callous, and I become less sensitive to the voice of the Spirit in my life. A gaping hole begins to open up in that sieve, and impurities begin to come through into my life, and I begin to act on them instead of the Spirit. You see, I'm less likely at that point than to see the work of God anywhere around me. I don't learn to trust God more and grow in my faith. The second thing, I don't experience God or God's provision in my life. I don't experience God or God's provision in my life. I don't see God at work because I don't allow God to work in my life. I don't allow God the freedom to move and to do, to lead and to guide. Therefore, my faith remains very lukewarm and never has a chance to really blossom and grow. Third, and this is what concerns me most, others don't experience God through me. Others don't experience God through me. Because God uses our responses to His invitation to encourage others in their walk with God. I mean, how many times have you seen somebody and you said to yourself, "Now there goes a godly person." And maybe it inspires you to do more, to be more for God. Because God mainly chooses to use us to reach out to others who also need to grow in their faith, in their walk with God. You ready for the catch? God is always inviting us to participate in some adventure with Him. That is the good news. God never stops inviting you to join Him in the work that He is doing. So we cannot say, well, I don't remember God ever inviting me to participate in any work that God was doing. Well, God's going to invite you again. You've received a wedding invitation, right? I remember as about to be married people, Lene and I sending out invitations to people. And we went to St. Mary's where we were going to have our reception, and we were talking about the number of people that would come back or that would come to the reception. And the person said that you will receive, let's just say, 100 invitations back that say, we're going to be there. We're going to be there and celebrate with you your wedding, your commitment to each other. And then she said, you get that 100 invitations back, 7% are not going to show up. 7% are going to say, yes, I'll be there, but I'm not going to eventually show up. Something will happen. Something always happens, and a percentage of people don't show up. Within the community of the church, that 7% is more like 80%. 80% of the people will say, here is my response, I'm going to join you, God. But they never show up. The church in which all of the people receive the invitation, show up to join in God's work, will be the church that grows. Will be the church that has an influence in their community to draw people to Christ. Will be the church that God uses to invite still more people to join Him in the work that is being done. I want to be that church. But 20% can't do it. It takes everyone pulling together, using their gifts, using their abilities, praying for the church, being present for services and other events, inviting others to join in with them, with what the Lord is doing in their lives and in the life of the church. We are the church. God invites all of us to join Him in His work. Maybe you need the Spirit to move in your life today. Maybe the Spirit has been speaking to you about what it is that you need to do to join God in the work that God is already doing here. What are you going to do about it? Let us pray. God, we ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and lead us in this moment. That you would just descend upon us, Spirit, and have your way with us. And that we, without any fear or reservations, commit ourselves more deeply to you this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.